You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim, boom! That's a bad outfit. Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me, my turn! Am I the meanest?
Show now!
Am I the prettiest?
Show now!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show now!
Well, who am I?
Show now!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. We're up to issue 21 now.
We're legal.
Yes, I guess so. See, now we're finally ready. We can go to our party because we've reached 21.
Did you get carded? I got carded at Walmart. You didn't.
Everybody get carded at Walmart. My mom,
she didn't.
My mom got carded. What?
Somehow she didn't.
She was right behind me. I got carded. She
You're
didn't.
Shorter?
Yeah. I think it was just because we were together and we were putting stuff in the same car.
Well, Geeksters, we've been out all day today picking up all the refreshments for our party. So that's what that's all about. Dawn and Vicky went through the line at Walmart picking up the alcohol, and Vicky, for some reason, didn't get carded. She gets carded for everything.
So far, we have 6 bottles of alcohol. That's so far. Right. Woo. Yeah.
Vicky's running into 6. Her brain. Whatever.
Blame it on vodka. Anyway. Blame it on the guinea.
You have 4.
I had 4. You had 2, right?
alcohol.
I got the whipped cream.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got the extra vodka. That's right.
And yeah, the rum.
So far, there's 7 bottles.
This makes no sense.
I got the rum. Yeah, the wine. And yeah.
Oh.
This is going to be an interesting party, guys. It's going to be awesome.
No, it's going to be more than interesting. It's going to be more than interesting. We're going to run out the Flavor Flav dances that I've been holding on to for years.
We may have to do some periscoping to see this.
You're going to waste one now.
No, that doesn't count. That does not count. You know what I'm talking about, though, don't you? See, that does not count.
And Vernon's over here causing problems, guys. We're going to get too much farther. Let's bring him in. From our blogs and from the website, we got Vernon. Say hello, Vernon.
How you doing, guys?
He does our blog on Tuesdays about the comic books. It's V Yellow's Comic Box,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
So what's coming up for V Yellow's Comic Box? We got a preview.
I'll give you a little preview about the superheroes of female superheroes on Marvel.
Well,
and
actually,
DC.
What do you have coming after that? Because that one will have been up by the time everybody hears this.
Honestly, I don't know too much about that one yet. I'm still working on that one.
You don't know what you're going for the next week?
It usually comes up like the day before.
Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't plan ahead. Come on.
When I plan ahead, it's just not right. You got to do it in the moment.
See, exactly. See, that's like what happened to me.
Whatever's on your mind, just go.
Well, not last week's. But the week before, I'm sitting there, I couldn't come up with anything, and I'm just like, I started off, and I'm like, no. I started, no. Now I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm looking at a blank piece of paper.
Yep. So the more I force this, the harder it's going to come. You just wake up and do something. Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
And that's what I got in my head today, and that's how you go.
That's how you go with it. So yep. I completely understand.
Okay, so Geeksters, that's Vernon, I had an idea of where I wanted to go. See, this is what happens. Anybody who's seen the Periscope, that's the only notes I have right now.
Those are some great notes, Kent.
Yeah, I know. We usually take more notes than this. But, that's what I was going to... with Con of the Cob news, guys, coming up. I think we can officially announce, because we've been throwing the idea around for a while, Kylan and I have, that at Con of the Cob, if for some reason you can't make it to Con of the Cob, we are going to be Periscoping
and... Would you
and
want to do that?
Broadcasting live on Mixlr twice a day, just a 15-20 minute hello and goodbye at the beginning and end of the day for Con on the Cob. Now, if you have Periscope, GeekWatch 1 has a Periscope. What's our name on there? It's the same on our Twitter, isn't
it? It's all through the Twitter, so it's Kylan and Ken.
So it's Kylan and Ken on Periscope. If you find us, it'll tell you when we're going to be up and running. Mixlr is also kind of...
You set up the Mixlr, I think.
Yeah.
don't know about
it. We'll make sure it's up on the website so you guys can see what the Mixler is. So that, but it's the first time we're actually going to try to broadcast live. Also, our Geek Watch 1 panel on Saturday afternoon, we're also going to be broadcasting that live on Mixler also. And maybe Periscope. We got to figure out, how long does the Periscope allow to run?
As long as you want.
It'll just keep going.
It'll just keep going.
Sweet. So we can actually do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got, Vicky?
For the con, I need 4 watermelons.
Oh, great. She's got an idea.
And some spouts.
4 watermelons, a drill, and some spouts. That sounds like some MacGyver stuff here.
It is.
What are you making? Are you making your alcohol containers out of watermelons?
Exactly.
Possibly. Oh, well. I was going to lead them on and have them
think. It's not the time of year for watermelons. It might be a little difficult.
Yeah.
I think we'll be all right.
We might be able to find
them. Seriously, tell me that would not be sick.
I seen a Bacardi already, and I was hooked.
Okay, so Geeksters, so you're going to, even if for some reason you can't make it, there will be some coverage.
You were so loud, you turned my Google on.
Probably. but according to the wave format, it's not that loud. That's because they made some adjustments.
And now it says, are you going to eat that? So you're going to eat it for sorry.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's TMI. So, we should move on.
Yeah, remember, Con the Cob's coming up October 15th through the 18th in Richfield, Ohio. Remember, go to conofthecob.com for info on that. Oddball's coming up at the end of the month. It's October 31st and November 1st in Akron, Ohio. You can find that at oddmall.info/Ohio. Now, they have plenty of space for vendors still at Oddmall. If you make something crafty or geeky or artsy, if you have comic books or toys to sell, if you have just about anything, if you get a hold of Crystal or Andy on the website, they'll tell you whether or not you can get in. And it's a good time.
Crystal already said you can get in until the day before.
Well, yeah,
as long as it has it started.
Yeah. So, but remember, Kylan and I are going to be emceeing the costume contest on Saturday.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing a live show on Sunday.
Yeah.
We're probably doing some more Mixler and Periscope as we go. I like the idea of this Mixler thing. We're going to have to talk about that off the air and stuff.
Okay.
So, but I think that takes care of... Oh, the t-shirts. I want to thank everybody who ordered t-shirts. We have, we actually got 8 t-shirts sold, which is pretty good for where we're at. Possibly we're going to have more coming up. What'd you find? Oh, that's awesome.
Pay attention to the recording.
But, Vicky got us again. But,
a good one. You should post
thanks
that
Thanks for everybody who bought t-shirts. Hopefully they'll be out before Con of the Cob starts. Sometime after Con of the Cob, we'll put up another campaign that started up again. So anybody who hasn't got them yet, will be able to get them still. I think that takes care of all the housekeeping and motherhood.
No, hold on. I got something. Kylan.
Me too.
I'm on a mission.
Me too.
I started 2 days ago because towards the end of this year, beginning of next year, so we're talking about 3 weeks difference somewhere in there. I need help from the Geeksters out there. I'm trying to get in contact with Dr. Peter Weller of Syracuse University and Buck Rubanzai fame. Okay, we know he did RoboCop, that little thing, but to me, he's Buck Rubanzai. Geeksters, you know what I'm talking about. Him, and I need contact with W.D. Richter, because you never know who's listening. If you guys could, I hit him up from my Twitter account. That's bluesman1103. If anybody has any info about how to get in touch with these guys, if you're a student and you have a class with Dr. Weller, or if you're next door neighbors with Mr. Richter, I don't care. contact us over on our Twitter, and that's Kylan and Ken, or hit me up on my Twitter, which is bluesman1103.
Or email us at kylanandken@gmail.com.
Or the Facebook page. And so every week
we're just looking for contact details, people.
Yeah, I will take care of the rest unless you guys say, hey, there's this really cool guy. He's a Blue Blazer regular. Do him a solid and get on the show. If you did that, we will do a special show in your honor or something. But thanks. So make that happen for me, guys. Any info will be greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get into some actual little bit of news snippets here. Let me bring up my list. I can start off with mine, actually. We're recording this on Saturday. Usually, you guys know we record on the weekends, but so all the numbers are not in, but The Martian looks like it's doing fantastic in the box office. It opened this weekend. We'll let you guys know for next week. We're actually doing a show about a large part of the show is going to be about The Martian. The publisher, who was the publishers for The Martian book? They actually sent us an early copy of the movie edition of the book so we could read it and do a review. But we've decided we're going to do a book review, but we're going to do it as a comparison to the movie. So we're going to do watch the movie sometime this week. Next week, we're going to spoil the crap out of it. So if you spoiler guys haven't alert. Seen it, hopefully you're still going to listen because we'll tell you all about it, but that's
by
okay.
By the time that episode posts, it'll be almost 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you've had your chance. Time.
And plus, the book has been, which is Crown Publishing, by the way.
There we go. I thought that was.
The book has
sure.
been out since last year, so there should really be no spoilers. But
yeah. But and guys, if you haven't seen the movie, you got to go to the movie, if nothing else, just to learn an appreciation for potatoes.
That's right.
Yeah.
It will save your life.
You won't believe.
Oh, that you wouldn't believe that potatoes will save your life. You're
and
right.
It's not just as strictly, you know, like on the commercials, you do see a lot of the whole science and space and NASA and astronauts thing. There's a whole geek side of this story. Like, there are a lot of geek references. There's a lot of pop culture references. It's really kind of cool. And reading the book, there were some... honestly, laugh out loud moments.
Yeah, there were.
So. Did you guys ever see Archie's Weird Mysteries?
Mm-hmm. No.
Like, hold on a second. What?
Say, what if you're on the Atkins diet? You can't eat the potatoes. So
then, well,
you're not concerned. You're just reading about it.
Yeah. You won't survive on Mars.
There's like an attack of like the potatoes or something, like an alien race coming down.
No, no, no. You will learn an appreciation of potatoes.
Yes.
This is not one of those. Dark space movies. It's very reality based. It's not a getting attacked by anything.
But so far on Friday night's receipts, Variety.com was reporting at time of recording that they'd only made $18 million just on Friday.
Sweet.
Wow.
And that was after they had done $2.5 million on Thursday night. So they're already well on their way to making they're looking right now that. Probably, now everybody listening to this will have been able to check this information already, but they're hoping for an opening weekend of around $50 million, which is going to put them within the top five for top, or where was it? It's going to put them in with the highest grossing movies in October. Yeah. The other ones that are up there with them was Gravity in 2013 did $55.8 million. In 2011, Paranormal Activity 2 made $52.6 million. 2010, Johnny Knoxville's movie did 50.4.
What movie, Johnny Knoxville?
Huh?
What movie?
The one that he made himself famous from doing.
The Grandpa. Jackass.
Yeah.
He was trying not to say it.
Then
now he's gonna have to bleep you.
Yeah.
No, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
It is a TV show.
It's a series.
What we gonna call it? Donkey?
Hey, you bleeped me for less.
But
seriously.
The only other one they have listed was Taken 2 in 2013 did
49.5. Fine. Shut you up.
Well, the thing is interesting that it's up against Gravity for high numbers because there's been a lot of comparison with it.
Yeah. That's what I was looking at when I was first like, Gravity 2, what is this? And then I found out, it's the
There's already Oscar talk about... about...
Well, I mean, it's a Ridley Scott movie. It's not like it's going to be poorly made.
Of
for
course,
the
yeah.
Part, so.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that one. In the same article, it talks how Hotel Transylvania 2, which I didn't realize it was actually, until it was coming out, until I saw a trailer, I didn't know they were making it. It actually is well on its way to actually being the, it topped the box office last week with $48.5 million, and that actually set the record for the biggest September open ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was Hotel Transylvania 2.
Because there's really no other family movie out.
Right, like it's a family movie, so you're guaranteed to get the kids and the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Because the reviews on that, when it first came out, I seen on IGN, but IGN's reviews, and I was like, the fans seemed a little different. They didn't like it, but then I saw the money it was making, I was thinking, huh.
Well,
somebody's going to see it then.
Right.
You gotta get the kid. You gotta get the kids out of the house.
And I loved one. I thought one was amazing. The first one that came out.
I haven't seen it.
Me and my mom.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
But we're like horror people anyway. So anything that has vampires or the old feeling of like a...
You're horror people, but you're going to go see Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it had the old...
But then again, Monster Squad back in the day was...
I grew up on that, too, and that was like the old 30s Universal Monsters. Oh, yeah. That's all that was, so we loved it.
Welcome to the Hotel Transylvania. Such a lovely place.
This is not karaoke time now. Come on.
Why not? If we can't do karaoke on our own show, where can we do karaoke?
Hey, if he wants to suck blood.
The show has Kylan and Ken in the title. We can put whatever we want on this show.
If he wants to suck blood, let him suck blood.
Let him suck what he wants, damn it.
Oh, wait. Hang on. Hey,
it's still PG-13.
You didn't see, what I showed Ken, and he shut up for a minute.
Okay, let's move on to the next story I have, and then Dawn has a couple, then we're going to get into the meat of what we're talking today. The next one is actually, anybody who's out there should know by now, that there's a small little movie coming in November that people have been waiting on for years, that James Bond is bringing back Spectre. And that's actually the name of the new movie. Yep. But one of the biggest things that's been going on in 007 news recently has been everyone wondering who's going to be the next 007. What's going on with Daniel Craig? Is he getting replaced? According to denofgeek.com, they say everybody's name's been thrown into the hat for James Bond, from Henry Cavill to Idris Elba to Damian Lewis to anybody else you can think of that might be partially British has been rumored to be James Bond next.
What about Tenet?
But
would we be ready for that?
He'd be a good villain, I think, for that.
Yeah, he would be.
He would be.
But that Daniel Craig has actually come out and speaking with the Mail in somewhere in England, Daniel Craig actually said he's contracted for one more movie still. So it doesn't matter who's going to be next yet, because as of right now, he's still going to be the next James Bond as long as he's physically able to do it. Because he's also said in here that Skyfall was actually really hard to get into shape to do. This as he's getting older, because he's in his 50s now, isn't he?
He's that old?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's getting up there in age, that each movie he does is getting harder to get into shape for this.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as he's physically able to do it, he wants to keep doing it.
Yeah, he's 47 right now.
Okay. What?
It's called Eat Healthy, Work Out, and Stop Smoking.
Well, so, here it is. It says, Craig had confessed that, in the past, that he considered walking away from the franchise after Skyfall.
Yeah.
But it seems that he, as of right now, he's going to be 007 at least through 2018. Okay. So after that, then maybe it'll,
But really, that's not too far away, considering we're nearing the end of 2015.
Yeah,
and the production.
That's just a couple years, yeah. And so speculating on the next Bond, it kind of makes sense.
Would we be ready if Idris Elba took over the role? Like,
that'd be interesting.
Would we be ready for this?
So many of us want that to happen.
I want that
to happen. The problem is, I don't see them going with,
I don't see them doing it either, but...
Since the 70s, since they brought in, like, Roger Moore... And Sean Connery was an actual somewhat of a name when they brought him in, but he wasn't all that big. George Lazenby had never done anything before James Bond.
Right.
He actually, if you go back and research how he got into JBJ, he kind of tricked his way into being the part. And then decided he didn't want to do it anymore. But Roger Moore actually already had somewhat of a name for himself. But Timothy Dalton, what major had he done before he did James Bond? There wasn't a whole lot.
Flash Gordon.
But he had bit parts in some of these other ones.
Well,
but
see, most of the guys who ended up in the Bond role were kind of like middle ground actors. They weren't huge names.
Yeah.
But that was part of the point.
Yeah, well, until they got Pierce Brosnan, but that's because he had been linked to James Bond before Timothy Dalton.
Yeah,
it was a big story.
People
to start
were talking about him as James Bond ever since he did Remington Steele.
Exactly. Right. Well, that's actually one of the reasons he was cast as James Bond before Dalton.
Yeah.
The problem was they wouldn't let him out of his last season contract for Remington Steele.
Exactly.
Right.
Said he had conflicts with the
NBC.
So we would have gotten more. So. Would have gotten more of him as Bond.
Exactly. But imagine if he would have actually had enough time to come all the way through there.
Right.
Well, see, I like Timothy Dalton. I think that, which one was it? Living Daylights, I thought was a really good movie. And I felt like that he was closer to the book, the book version of Bond, as opposed to the movie version that we had seen with Roger Moore. But unfortunately, the second movie, which the name escapes me, because it was so bad, that was the nail in the coffin. I felt like that Timothy Dalton got dealt a bad hand.
Yeah.
Because of bad scripts, not because he was a bad Bond.
I never liked him as Bond. He never felt like Bond to me.
See, for me, Timothy Dalton, it wasn't him playing Bond. It was just the movies themselves changed with him in it. Because if you look, until that point, it was basically a larger-than-life villain has this giant something that's going to destroy the world or something like that, extort huge amounts of money. When he got into it, his movies were all about drug cartels, and it was almost like James Bond got smaller. I mean, the action stuff got more realistic, really. But it was almost like they tried to go too realistic with it. Because when they brought Pierce Brosnan in, they went again back to those huge global implications and things.
Right. And so, which, I mean, the thing was, Living Daylights, you had the larger-than-life villain.
Yeah.
But then with License to Kill was the, you know, the one with the, that was the drug cartel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just a bad movie
all around. I don't know, was Living Daylights the one they put Wayne Newton in?
No, License to Kill.
Okay, it's
Wayne Newton was in License to Kill. That was bad all around.
Wayne Newton was fine when he showed up in the Vacation movie, but Bond, no.
No.
Wayne Newton is good as a cameo.
Yeah.
Playing Wayne Newton in Vegas.
No one believes Wayne Newton is an evil genius in any regard.
Go ahead with
no.
Vicky actually had an idea for the next James Bond, too.
Oh, about Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy and Pacific Rim.
Charlie Hunnam.
Hunnam? Is that the one you're talking about?
Hunnam? It's Hunnam. H-U-H-N. He's British, actually.
That'd be an interesting take on it. He's about the right age. He's got a rugged look.
He's young. He's not about the right age.
Well, no, because most a lot of, the most common one, the Bonds were.
Yeah, but
a lot
most of the others are 40s or in their 40s.
Yeah.
Well, by the time they would get to they get that point, he would be close to.
Yeah, by time. Because
I think Sean Connery was early 30s when he got hired originally.
Yeah,
right.
Now Roger Moore was almost 50 already when he started.
Right.
But Timothy Dalton was the early 30s or mid 30s.
Mid 30s, yeah.
So you know that'd be an interesting. Because I've not heard that name out there at all.
That's true.
It'd be cool to see what he could do, especially after seeing Pacific Rim, because it was a totally different character. I mean, it wasn't totally different, but it was different than we'd seen on Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
So
definitely different role I think you could play.
Style of roles he's had, he but hasn't had anything like it though.
Yeah,
that's probably
which may
why,
be a good thing.
But that's why his name hasn't been out there, because the other ones who've been mentioned have had kind of cop or detective roles.
Like Luther.
That's why Idris Elba would be perfect from playing Luther.
And also for, what was that, The Wire?
But also, you got to think, with actors like that, you're going to be watching James Bond and seeing the other roles they did.
Right. With this, it would be a
with something like Charlie Hunnam or someone that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
At least not for that type of role.
They can actually create the role.
Well, most
and
people don't realize he's British.
I don't know, see, my favorite Idris Elba movie, where he could do, like, the whole action spy thing, was in The Losers, where, you know, he caught, like, a missile in the plane that he was in.
He was also a double agent.
Yeah, he was a double agent, see? That was really good.
Spoilers if no one's seen that.
And, you know, and he died.
How long's it been out? Come on.
Some people don't even know that thing exists, I found out. I was like, how dare you?
Man, I was like,
that was such a good movie.
You better have read the comic.
That summer?
They wouldn't recognize him if they were...
Like, that summer, we had... You had the A-Team, and you had The Losers. Both really good movies. Unfortunately, because they came out so close together, I think people kind of got lost or got confused between the two.
There were similarities between them, though. That's the
thing. There's a lot of similarities.
I haven't seen either one of those yet.
They're
so good.
Yeah. Have you read the comics?
They're not thinkers.
I haven't actually picked them up. I did some research on them. But.
Dude, if you
I picked up Two Guns, though. To me, it seems similar to Two Guns a lot, too.
See, is Two Guns a Diggle one, too? Isn't that along the same lines?
I think so.
Yeah, I suggest anybody, if you're looking for a really good, high action, high octane,
a little bit.
Real world story,
some drama.
I suggest that you pick up the whole story's in two volumes of The Losers. I think there's Andy Up and Double Down. I think is what they're called. I suggest you get them and read them. They will be gone. You'll be done. That's your weekend, right there. Seriously. I couldn't put them down. I couldn't.
Well, I may have to borrow those from you or something.
That's right.
I'm going to have to pick up a volume of it then.
Yes, it's good.
Okay, so let's move out of James Bond and get into actually kind of what today's going to be. Well, most of our shows are comic book heavy. But we're gonna try it. We're gonna be somewhat comic book TV heavy today. But so, but before we get into that, Miss Dawn, do you have any news that you need to get that you wanted to get to?
There was the mention of the Thor director, if you wanted to.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted me to go to that one yet or not.
Yeah, I mean, because that's movie stuff. We get to get that out of the way.
Yeah. Well, Variety's reporting as of today. Actually, this is a brand new article. Oh no, yesterday. That now I'm gonna butcher this name. Thanks for giving it to me. That's why you gave it to me.
Hey, we got the Black Panther one last time. You get this one.
It's Taika Waititi.
Waititi, yeah.
Taika Waititi is actually in negotiations to direct Thor Ragnarok. Now he's from New Zealand, which I don't know if you could have picked that up from the name or not, but he's directed a couple episodes of the TV series Flight of the Conchords. Also, he wrote and directed the vampire spoof What We Do in the Shadows and the indie comedy Eagle vs. Shark. He's also he's half Maori, which is natives for New Zealand, and he's wrote the script for the upcoming Disney movie Moana.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big one that I've actually heard of on the list. He also acted as the character Tom Kamuka or Kamaku in the Green Lantern movie with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So he was an actor in that one. Now, according to the article, Kenneth Branagh directed the original Thor, and Alan Taylor did Thor the Dark World. And the first one actually did $449 million for Thor, and Thor Dark World actually did $645 million. So they're hoping this to go even bigger when they do it. Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston are definitely coming back, and Jamie Alexander is coming back as Lady Sif. So as of right now, that's all that's confirmed for it. The script is actually already done written. It was written by Christopher Yost and Craig Kyle. Yost actually was the co-writer for Thor the Dark World. So you got a continuation there. And of course, Kevin Feige is doing the producing. But that's just because he produces everything Marvel.
That's right.
So he's basically the Stan Lee for the cinematic universe of Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he answers directly to Disney now because he's the man at Marvel Cinematic. Yeah. So.
And a couple of things I've heard from you guys and from other places that actually may be a very good thing. Because of the there's no middleman now. He doesn't have to answer to anybody other than Disney.
I think a lot of the ideas
and the things we've seen with Marvel have been through Feige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, problems we've had are him fighting with upper management.
I think when things go wrong, it tends to be when Feige is pushed back on things. Like, because he has a lot of good ideas and he's really good at seeing them through.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good thing if he's allowed to kind of just go with it.
As long as he stays true to, you know, the spirit of, the spirit of the characters, because I know for sure that there's no way that something can successfully go 100% from the printed page to the screen.
Oh, no.
So as long as he follows through on keeping the spirit of the characters,
yeah. I mean,
I'm good with that. I'll support him.
So. Oh, and can I just say, if you're not getting enough Lady Sif in your life, the new show on television with Jamie Alexander, Blind Spot, it's really good.
Oh, yeah, is that?
I love
that's
it.
That's her. She's the one that the entire body is tattooed. Yep. It's really good.
I'm deep into that show, too.
Yeah.
I can't wait for episode 3.
Oh, yeah.
We did episode 1 and 2.
We watched 1 and 2 back to back. Yeah.
I watched it, like, first morning.
If you don't get enough Sif, take a look at that show. It's a good one.
I think she's hot in there, too, by the way.
She's naked. You can't tell.
Besides that, she can fight.
You got to trust yourself when your opening scene and that you introduce the entire world for this show is you naked getting out of a bag
in the middle of Times Square,
covered in fresh tattoos.
Yeah. So, okay, Mr. Wan, do you have anything else before we get into?
Yes,
TV
that's what body doubles are for.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they had some very strategically placed glares from the lights.
They do, yeah.
Where
yeah.
she stood up, and it was pretty awesome.
That's the real use for lens flare.
Exactly, that's how you use lens flare.
what director likes the lens flares?
J.J. Abrams.
Abrams.
Star Wars?
Oh my gosh,
we're gonna see a lot of that.
It's gonna show up.
I watched a Star Trek like this past week, I was like, I see it now.
Yeah, exactly. Once you know it's there, you can't not see it.
Like, it was just there out of nowhere, just on their face, like, why?
Well, that's fine. What audition was that? And I said, only if you're my partner, that they were looking for?
Oh, yeah. Have you guys seen the stories about Westworld?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the interesting contracts that they're asking the extras to sign?
Yeah.
This is, it's not a story I'm going to touch on much, guys, because that's more of a, this is definitely a Geek Watch 1 After Dark story. But they're asking the extras to do some really far out there stuff when it comes to sexuality and nudity.
Ah.
That it's, I don't know about this one. I don't know how the
go ahead and look things up,
yeah.
People.
Look up
well,
Westworld.
I could go A, well, PG with it. It's like A and slot B. is what they're,
that's how it usually works.
That's what they're being asked to, that's what they're being asked to actually do on air.
Wow, on the extras.
The extras.
They're not being asked to do it, but that you may be asked to do this.
Because it's the whole futuristic
pleasure
park thing.
Westworld, I've never seen Westworld. Kylan, you probably
have. I thought it was a Western.
No, it is technically. But Kylan, what was the original Westworld? You've seen
The original is set in
I've heard about
they
this.
Were talking about
it's a park. It's a park that's like a, like set in the Wild West. But it's manned by robots.
It's animatronic.
It's all animatronic. And so what happens in the original movie is the computer that controls all the robots gains sentience. And then just kind of everything just kind of goes
as usual,
wrong.
The robots attack.
Yeah.
And Yul Brynner is like the main bad guy. And you basically have to take him out. But then all of a sudden he realizes that he, you know, and so it kind of turns into almost like a Terminator horror kind of thing. It was really good though. I mean,
but you can see them taking a whole like pleasure amusement park spin on it. That's the thing.
There was
another movie called
Future
World.
He's my partner.
See, there was another movie called Future World, I believe, that was like a sequel to that, and it took everything to the that's where the whole pleasure park and that sort of thing kind of...
At some point, I gotta see if it's online somewhere, because it's like, I'd like to see Westworld. I've heard about it for years.
Mm-hmm.
So...
It's kind of kitschy at this point, but it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid. That and Rollerball, which says a lot about
Rollerball?
Me.
Yeah, of course.
Original.
I didn't know it was that the one I saw was a remake.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, don't.
That horrible one that you saw.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, so that's the Westworld news from, but what else do we got, Miss Dawn, before
There is talk of the Marvel comic Damage Control being adapted as a comedy TV series.
Comedy? That would be funny.
So what is Damage Control, honey?
Damage Control was a series from the late 80s, 89 to be exact. Damage Control was a company that was a construction company that would come in and clean up after superhero battles because somebody had to. And
see all the destruction in the movies, and then all of a sudden most of it looks fine in the end, or now actually in the movies they're showing them rebuilding.
Right. So, and like, even within in the Marvel superheroes RPG from the late 80s, early 2000, late 80s, early 90s, superhero groups, if you had enough money, could pay for insurance that would, you know, cover the damage, because the city would bill you guys and say, hey, you took out two city blocks, who's going to replace all that? And so anyway, that's what Damage Control did. And so it was, I think they ended up with like four issue miniseries. And so they're looking at making this I don't know if they're going to go with a whole sitcom series for this, or if it's going to be a mini.
They've so far just described it as a half hour live action comedy.
So it's a sitcom.
So, yeah.
Well, but it doesn't have to actually be a sitcom.
Yeah, it could be more like The Office
comedy.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that technically wasn't sitcom.
So it'll be
mockumentary style would be great for this, though.
I mean, because, think about it. You get, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is, like, superhero world adjacent, because this stuff is going on over here. The agents are talking about what's going on because they're affected
by
that.
But they're still directly involved in what's going on.
Right. And so, anyway, Damage Control will still be adjacent, and they're still affected by it, but you're almost getting what the day-to-day average person
Mm-hmm. You know, they're the Vicky, insurance handlers.
I got one. Vicky had a great way of doing this show.
I don't remember.
They've done it before. They've done a show very similar.
It was on YouTube.
I'll bring it up so I can find out the
they
name.
They were janitors, and they were on like the Death Stars and stuff like that.
The space janitors.
The space
they
janitors.
Were, they were sitting there cleaning, and what if they did something like that?
Yeah.
Where these guys are trying to fix and clean, and stuff's falling down,
and actually,
they're still fighting.
Being
and,
part of the Marvel Universe in television, they could actually do that to where they pull scenes from the movies, and these guys are standing in front of it trying to clean up as stuff's getting
smashed. They show the destruction.
They could have like a hammer even come through like a wall or something and come right back and just dump.
Well, imagine that. Yeah, they duck to pick up something and Mjolnir goes flying over their head.
I think that's why they're going the comedy route with it. I mean,
oh yeah,
you're sitting there talking to your buddy and an alien takes out your coworker.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's in talks right now.
Okay.
And the other one, which I think is a pretty big deal,
is that
HBO is in early talks with Zack Snyder to develop a Watchmen TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think this could be awesome.
I do too. I'm a big fan of Watchmen.
HBO shows usually turn out quite well.
Yeah, and plus they had other characters in from what we saw in the movie.
Exactly.
The movie was okay
for what it was.
Yeah, for what I hear a lot of people have problems with it, but for me, I was like, this is page for page what I read, so that's why I loved it.
The Watchmen graphic is just so dense. They could not put it all in. There's no way. And there's some of the stuff they just couldn't properly represent on screen without looking completely ridiculous.
Right. I mean,
so being able to do this on a weekly basis,
you have more time
by HBO, and with I mean, just look at something like Game of Thrones, the kind of effects they can do on that with like the dragons and things. I mean, they could. It wouldn't be a problem
you're just
for
happy
them to throw
you,
in.
You're just happy you'll get to see the comedian.
Yeah,
that's
I am.
What it is. See.
That's my favorite character.
As long as I can see more Rorschach, I'm all for
you. See, there you go.
He's favorite.
You know, see. I had no problem with the movie. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the thing is, if you tried to do this move, if you tried to do the graphic, let's say just for argument's sake, you tried to do the graphic page for page, what you and tried to put that on the screen, we're talking three movies.
Mm-hmm.
You're easily three movies. And
well, the other thing is,
that's why it was such a long movie.
Anyone,
plus, the director's cut had more in it.
Yeah,
that was even longer.
If anyone's read Watchmen, you know there are things in between the actual storyline that have backgrounds, articles. There's that whole pirate
like
plot, little
like
mini
even the first
comic
night
that's
out.
In
right.
it.
Yeah.
There's so much going on that they could actually have, you know, episodes where you have a bit of the whole Watchmen thing going on, and then it cuts mm-hmm. to the. Almost like a flashback with the articles that are involved in the book and
right.
that kind of, there's a lot.
I think it'd just be an awesome show. I would love to.
Now it is just preliminary. There's no deals in place. There's no discussion about plot lines yet. And technically Warner Brothers hasn't even commented.
Well, you got to think about this. Yeah. We were supposed to maybe get Justice League Dark, and that's not even in the talks anymore.
Yeah.
Right
well,
now.
Didn't Del Toro step out? He was supposed
well, this,
to be
well, Del
Toro is
one of those
it.
Guys that'll say, oh, yeah, I'm writing on this. I'm writing on that. He's writing, but there's nothing really official about it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
that's just him.
Well,
he's always got
what,
all those ideas.
A lot of what's going on with that one and a lot of the other ones, DC Comics, we're guaranteed right now, like, they said Wonder Woman's coming and all these other ones, but they've not done anything other than sign someone to the contract right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting to see what Batman and Superman does.
Yeah.
Before and then they really maybe make their... see what if it does well enough to get Justice League made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they told everybody the list of what they want to do, but they've not actually spent any real money on it. Yes.
Well, they're,
see,
well,
you know
they're
what?
Spending money on Wonder Woman.
Well, they've commissioned a script, but there's no cameras rolling yet.
Well, it's going to be rolling this month, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're setting up for Wonder Woman.
If
set
they
up.
Have release dates, that it's going.
Yeah, that's some of the stuff
but
I talk about.
But that can
always
change. Look at Fox
well,
has
technically,
done.
Yeah.
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 Yep, see,
I mean, they've canceled Wonder Woman a couple times now, so.
But see, the thing is, if they're looking at Marvel and they're wanting to have a... establish a universe and have a whole cinematic universe as well, they're going to have to be willing to just step out there, because it's almost like if you sit there and you wait to see what Batman Heart Superman does, then all of a sudden, and let's say, okay, it does well, then everybody's going to be waiting another year or two for the next movie, and then by that point, it's done. I mean, when by time Iron Man came out, What was the next movie after Iron Man?
Incredible Hulk.
And see, Marvel was smart. Two movies a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You and they were like, and what's the worst that could happen? If Iron Man didn't do well, okay, so you take the hit. And if Incredible Hulk didn't do well, okay, you take them, you get the message, and then you're done. If it's a case of like, okay, well, let's do this to see. Okay, it did well. Let's do another one. People are already clamoring for the next DC property.
Yeah.
And if they have to sit there and wait another year or something like that, you're going to lose the
hype.
You're going to lose the hype. Yeah. You are.
Well,
I know.
DC, what Warner Brothers needs to do is do like Marvel with what Disney is doing with Marvel. Disney said, hey, you guys make comic books, make comic book movies, make comic book movies. Here's the money you need. As long as you're making money, you're good. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers can't keep their fingers out of it. That's the problem. That we've been over this over and over again on the show.
Here's my biggest problem with all that.
They're mechanical spiders. What do you expect?
Here's the thing, though. They can do anything right. Like, I'm not too worried about the way they're going to approach it. I know everybody was like, do it like Marvel did. They can do it that way. But the thing that's my issue, the comedy.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it has to be a comedy movie, but give us some humor.
A little bit of
humor in there.
In
Man of Steel, there wasn't none. And
they're stuck in the dark.
Yeah. And if you see, like, what happened with, what was that, the Dark Knight trilogies? The only reason to me that, well, not the only reason, one of the reasons why it did so well, you had Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
He was the humor. He was the humor in that. If you're going to take that out, it's kind of like, I mean, it's a good movie, but it's dull.
Mm-hmm.
You need something. Lucius Fox was pretty good,
Lucius,
too.
Yeah, that's right,
Because he was a little bit of a
smart
aleck.
Smart mouth. You need some sarcasm. That can add the humor. You don't need flat-out laugh-out.
No, you don't need that.
What it is with the DC properties now, you're looking at, look at who's actually making them. Look at, Zack Snyder is basically the helm of the whole ship right now.
Mm-hmm.
Has he ever done anything with any actual real levity in it?
No. Well, you know what? 300 had some. 300 had a little bit of levity.
Not much.
Well, and see, that's the biggest problem, because Zack Snyder is supposed to be doing Wonder Woman, and he's doing Aquaman.
Yeah. But look at also, who was one of his biggest collaborators on the script for Batman v Superman? Was Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Frank Miller is not known for his comedy.
Frank Miller lives in the dark.
His comic books for dark, perfect. Movies is kind of like a...
Exactly, that's the problem.
You know, reading it and then seeing it on screen completely different.
That lives in the darkness.
Right.
A co-writer that lives in the darkness. It's like DC is living in the dark. And DC and Marvel, between the two, DC is the bright, shining one out here.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel is usually the one that's... It's got levity, but it deals with the darkness more also. DC has Batman, deals with the darkness.
I can't say that, because at least in the era I came up in, Marvel was still, it has surreal moments, but DC always has, their stuff was like, man, this could happen in real life. If me or you had superpowers, this would be us. To me, Marvel was like, this could never happen. Even though it was set, to me, in like New York, it was just like too much, I don't know, DC to me always felt more surreal. That was me, at least my interpretation. Maybe it's the books I read too.
Well, the thing is, I find that DC does well writing dark. Like,
right.
When you're reading the dark stories, mm-hmm. that it's fine because you get immersed in it and it makes perfect sense. And if you have someone trying to make comedy out of it, unless it's someone like the Joker,
right,
it doesn't work because it pulls you right out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But doing that in a movie is difficult. They just have to get it right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I think that's one thing, like I've said multiple times in the past, that's the one thing Marvel has done very well.
Mm-hmm.
Was they deal with reality. They said it that this could actually happen. But, which is why because even in the midst of the most horrible tragedies here in the real world,
you
still find something that, there's still stuff in there that out of nowhere will crack you up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like some stupid offhand comment, but it's just funny. But it fits because it keeps flowing right in.
Exactly.
Well, there's a bit of gallows humor that goes on.
Awesome.
Gallows humor is a big part of it.
There's your levity.
A pizza necklace.
A pizza
necklace.
Right. Portable. You see, that's the thing, like, there's a certain level of humor that if you're in the middle of combat, and it's something that you see in the Avengers, especially in the Avengers, and in Iron Man, especially when you'll see the scenes with Tony and Rhodey, where they're in the middle of combat, and they're just kind of, you know, they're kind of making fun of the situation to get through it. And the thing is, for some reason, well, for one thing, Bruce Wayne doesn't do that.
Robin.
You have Robin, you have Nightwing, you have a couple of these other guys that are lighter and they balance them out a little bit.
Yeah. Right. I mean, even in what was that Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
You had I forget, was it Joseph?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, he was like supposed to be in Robin in there. You could see that. Mm-hmm. You could see he was trying to lighten up Bruce Wayne's mood. Now, if they can somehow get that and take it into Zack Snyder's, I could see that happening in a good way. But the way Zack's did with like Superman, Man of Steel, it was nothing in there.
Well, here's my thing about Superman.
There's no Jimmy. It's like you needed Jimmy.
We're talking about 30 years difference between when Superman the movie came out. Mm-hmm. Well, not quite, almost 30 years difference between Superman the movie and Man of Steel. The thing is with I guess 25. But anyway, with Man of Steel.
Has it?
Superman the movie was like 77 or 78.
Right, 40. So yeah. almost 40.
Almost 40 years.
Wow. Anyway, almost 40 years difference. The thing is
that's still my favorite superhero movie of all time.
In the 70s, you could go with the Big Blue Boy Scout.
Right.
And that would sell. Zack Snyder's Superman would have flopped. You fast forward it 40 years. That's Superman the movie would not go.
Yeah.
It will not go. And they're wanting to make something that's going to sell. But at the same time, you completely change the character.
Zack Snyder goes with hardcore real. This is what's going on, and it's gritty. Serious. Yeah. And he just goes too far in that direction. It's not, because it's not real. It's like, dude, first of all, you're doing superhero movies. Calm down.
Right.
You know? Well, I think what Snyder has, and a lot of people haven't realized something with Superman. A lot of this, the pure Superman fans figure this out, that Superman, when he's fighting the bad guys, isn't the battles with Superman, it's not a physical battle. If you want to beat Superman, you got to beat him on an emotional level or a mental level, because no one's going to walk up and punch Superman and knock him out.
Or magic.
Kryptonite. Well, yeah, but I'm saying what it is Superman's biggest weakness is not kryptonite. It's not magic. It's people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you hurt the people around him, you'll cripple him.
Yeah. Have you read Injustice comic book? Have you read Injustice comic book? Has anybody read that?
I played the game. I never.
Oh, my God. But, that story. Well, you know the story then.
Yeah.
That is not something to do with that.
Oh, man. That. Can I do it?
Go ahead. It's been out for a while.
So basically, Joker has this plan to get back at Superman. Well, I guess the whole Justice League, the whole world, really. He kidnaps Lois Lane. Superman enters the room. Him and Harley Quinn are in. There's a toxin in there now, Scarecrow's toxin. He saw Doomsday and took him up into outer space. And then Joker and Batman get in there, and Batman takes him and says, "What'd you do?" He says, looks like the city's about to explode in the next, like, 5 minutes or so. He's like, "What are you talking about?" Then he's like, "Wait, where's Lois?" That's Scarecrow's gas. "Wait a minute. Clark, come down. Come back." And then turns out it wasn't Doomsday. It was actually Lois. Mm-hmm. And he took her up in there. And she was also pregnant, too. And they even came to Batman, like, the night before and said, "We want you to be the Godfather." So he killed Lois when he took up her in outer space. Came back down, and she had a trigger in her body somewhere that was going to blow up Metropolis. So also a lot of people he knew in there died. He lost his kid. He lost his wife.
And that's what causes him to go dark?
He became, I'm trying to think, what's the character? He became Galactus to a certain... Well, not
Galactus. Galactus.
He became Doomsday. He actually became, not Doomsday, I'm sorry, he became a Darkseid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He became an Emperor.
Ultraman.
Stop. Worse. He was worse than him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he was killing people left and right. At least, about Ultraman, he said, "If you're going to work for me, I'm not going to kill you because you're useful." When Superman got pissed off, he just destroyed you.
Imagine Sinestro with all the powers of Superman and that lawful, and that's pretty much what it came down to. It wasn't even a case. It was like lawful neutral. That's what it was. Okay. It's like the minute you broke the law, it didn't matter.
You're done.
Yeah. Everything was death.
Because
so it's almost lawful evil, wouldn't it?
No, because lawful evil, if you're lawful evil,
mm-hmm.
you're following the law, but towards the end, toward an evil end. Okay. For him, it's all about maintaining order. And so this is the line. As long as you stay on this side of the line, you're fine. The minute you cross that line, no matter how light the infraction is, the minute you cross that line, you're done.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. Because he was too light on the criminals, he allowed them, every time they crossed the line, he kept pulling them back. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I made that mistake. I let them cross the line. I kept pulling back. Now you cross the line, you're done.
And the good thing about him being an emperor like that, there was no more crime.
Yeah.
There wasn't any more crime. I mean, if you did anything, you were dead. And people start getting the picture of, oh, yeah, I'm not doing that. I want to cross Superman. He can hear everything I do.
Well, that goes right back to if not enough people realize that that is, everybody sees Superman as the big blue Boy Scout. He's got all these powers. He's overpowered. You can't beat him.
Beat him, yeah. And that's why a lot of people hate him.
If someone write a good story that actually brings that up, maybe the fact that the people are in the Superman movies, the original ones, that they showed that Superman 2 was a real quick Zod and the other two figured out what his weakness was. It wasn't, they didn't use kryptonite against him.
No.
They started hurting people, and by hurting people, they brought him to his knees.
But it's so common.
Ursa and Non.
Yeah,
but you got to think about all the powers he has and what he is. That's why it's so hard for them to write a Well, I was going to say all of them are bad, but a really good, decent Superman.
I think they're overthinking it is the problem with some of when it comes to Superman.
I don't. They're overthinking. They're not thinking enough because he has so many powers. What way can you go about it to really just make him like a Batman, like a Thor, like a Captain America? I mean,
well, that also is that our society today is more towards the Batman and some of the darker characters that everybody is enjoying those, that they're having a problem figuring out, okay, Superman is a beacon of light. What do you do with that in a world that is craving darkness?
Yeah. Well, Captain America is a beacon of light, and, you know, I mean, imagine how outraged he was in Winter Soldier, when he goes in, he discovers that S.H.I.E.L.D. has this program in place to spy on everybody. He was outraged.
Yeah.
You know, he's a beacon of light, but he's willing to acknowledge that there is darkness, and it's down to us as our own individual heroes to stand up against it.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, he got all up in Tony's stuff when he used a certain word.
Yeah,
you know,
watch your language.
Yeah. No.
Language
sounds like Star Wars. Sounds like what Anakin did. Oops.
But that goes back to the whole Marvel versus DC on the cinematic. Marvel's got it figured out how to do this.
Right.
DC, Warner Brothers needs to let them figure this out.
They got it figured out on the animated front.
Those are amazing. Television and anime in general.
Just right.
But those are more. Well, I was even looking at this.
Because the television, someone probably. Was slapping their hands, telling them, get the out of my office.
No, a lot of them that did that were a lot of the ones that was into the comic book writing, too. You don't have a lot of that with the movies.
Look at Greg Berlanti is the executive producer for most of for Flash, Arrow, and now Supergirl coming up. But look at the first couple seasons of Arrow. How many times do you see Geoff Johns' name in there?
Right.
Geoff Johns is the editor-in-chief of DC Comics. He knows how to write superheroes.
Right.
So the same thing they did with Smallville towards the end. They had Geoff Johns wrote two or three episodes
And I could tell that it was becoming more of like the actual Superman Superboy that I knew, because in the first one you got it, but it was like, this isn't the exact thing. Okay, I could actually pick this up as a book, and this is on TV now.
Mm-hmm.
And see, CW is notorious for, let's do Romeo and Juliet. Let's do Romeo all the time. And Juliet. They cannot not do that. You know? I even watched behind the scenes, and that's what she was saying! It's like, dude, you just destroyed a great TV show.
We don't
want to see Romeo and Juliet. If we wanted to, we will go to the theater and watch it.
Or go to another TV show.
So
We don't want Romeo and Juliet with superpowers or Romeo and Juliet hunting ghosts.
I'm shocked
Romeo
they're trying
Juliet
to do more of that
space.
With Arrow. I'm surprised.
Well, see, that's what's nice that CW has actually let them now start. There's some romance stuff in Flash and Arrow, but it's not as heavy-handed as what they had in
Romeo and Juliet. That's because I think they finally realized that us, even as a female, we don't want to see that.
And it felt like with
give Felicity a damn machine gun! You know? Like, seriously.
And we are going to see that, guys.
Yes.
Let me keep
it's no Jane the Virgin, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what that's about.
Another quick short one real quick, and then we're actually going to talk a little bit about the actual premieres we've had of the comic book TV.
Yeah.
And then looking forward to, we're going to get back to Flash and Arrow and Supergirl. But one last thing was, Constantine has found new life, kind of, sort of.
Please.
Robert Rodriguez's El Rey Network has actually bought the rights to show the episodes we have already of Constantine and Almost Human. So, starting in, I believe they said November, they're going to start new shows that you're going to actually be able to see. Now, most of us have already seen Constantine, but they're going to be playing the reruns.
Okay, when you say new shows, I was like, what?
No.
It's the distribution rights.
They have the distribution rights to play Constantine on their show, or on their network.
Which could get it to a whole new audience and could get the popularity up there enough to bring it back in some form. I mean, El Rey could technically start creating it themselves.
Well, it's true, I mean, because they've managed to take Dusk Till Dawn, which I thought was going to be a one-shot deal, and it's gone into the second season.
Yeah, I've not seen that yet. It's on Netflix now. I got to sit down and watch that.
I've watched a couple of those.
They announced this week that they have Constantine. They picked up Almost Human from Fox, which Vicky and I love that show.
I loved Almost Human.
So we can watch the reruns of that also.
I've been wanting to see that. I haven't gotten to that. I've really been
It's on the really seed. Good.
It's on the seed, right?
Huh?
No,
it's on
CW. Is that the one? I don't know.
The guy with the robot and the cop? About.
Yeah, that's the one.
Or that android, rather. Yeah.
If not, we have time. But the other shows that they've picked up, they said also that they're older shows, but remember V from the 80s?
Yeah.
They have the V TV series and the miniseries.
Ooh.
I watched that originally.
I did too.
I wasn't allowed because it was
my
old,
dad
it
was so into
late.
It, and he was watching it, and he let me watch the whole thing.
It was good.
I would have loved to watch it live.
Creeped me out when I was a kid. Let me tell you.
Oh yeah. They also picked up Mortal Kombat Conquest.
I love this show. I was just thinking about that show the other day. I love. I'm serious.
They also have the Freddy's Nightmares.
Yeah,
cool,
right.
Cool.
I like that show.
I used to watch that back
in the day. I like the anthology horror shows that.
They don't have those anymore.
No,
that was
exactly.
Good.
They're
with
not.
The
I guess people
shows,
aren't into those no more.
The 2002 reboot of the Twilight Zone.
All right,
and
good.
Night Visions.
Those are pretty good.
That's what they've picked up. They're starting. It says Freddy's Nightmares and Mortal Kombat is going to air in 2015.
I still got those on the old VHS.
The rest of it is going to probably roll into 2016 before they bring them up.
I still got Conquest on the old VHS.
Me too! Oh, man. I remember on Monday. That was on Monday nights. I would watch WCW, and then they would play because...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because TNT had Robin Hood. It was like this... Their take of Robin Hood... He was like, he knew like some kind of, he was like a kickboxer. So like the fight scenes were like, I'm like, I can't do that, but I'm cool.
Yeah.
And then there was a great lead in to Mortal Kombat.
And then they would show you the movie of Mortal Kombat that came out.
How am I supposed to go to sleep after this? I'm like.
Then you watch Street Fighter.
And it all went down.
The cartoon was better. We can say that.
Yeah, the cartoon was better.
Good.
The cartoon was better than the movie.
For me. I love the Street Fighter game. The movie was not all that great. Mortal Kombat, I did not like the game
at
all.
Did you guys pick up...
Wait,
what was the name of it? Was it called Street Fighter, the movie, the video game? Do you guys remember
that?
It had too many titles in that for right there.
You're getting it mixed up with the actual game, Street Fighter.
Street Fighter,
so
the movie,
the
video
movie,
game.
The game.
Oh, my God.
Didn't it have, like, didn't Street Fighter, like, the anime movie... Didn't they have a scene where, like, when you first see Chun-Li, she's, like, in the shower or something? I'm like...
Oh, the etchy?
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, huh? And there's, like, this one scene where, like, she's fighting... Oh, God. The sumo wrestler dude. I can't think of his name.
Yes, that's it.
And then, like, he grabs her, and he kind of starts, like... Nuts. I was like...
Yeah.
Oh! You nasty man. You're supposed to be fighting. You're supposed to be fighting.
That's called
like
fan service.
That.
Huh? That's called fan service.
Man, that was I was just hating because I'm not a Street Fighter. I ain't doing that. I'm probably not saying I wouldn't have. I'm just saying that that's wrong. Wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, so he did. Nasty.
Now, getting into the actual meat of the... Now, how most of you guys have seen it by now. Gotham came back 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually 3 weeks ago as of this show. We've not seen the third episode yet, but the first two... Vernon, what do you think of Gotham so far that you've seen this year?
I have issues with it, but I'm trying to think of it more as like an Elseworld. Maybe I can get more into it. Because I don't know. I have mixed feels about Gotham. There's some parts I love. I love Harvey. Not Harvey Dent. I'm Harvey Bullock. I love Gordon. I love Renee when they did have her. I know some people was complaining. I loved her.
Yeah. She's still around, I think.
Okay. And I'm like, then you had the Spectre on there. So stuff like that I liked.
What,
I love Alfred. Alfred's amazing.
Spectre. When was the Spectre on there?
I forget his real name, but question.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's the second question, the second Spectre. I never knew his name.
Jim
I just called him second. No, that was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, now I remember.
But yeah, you had both of them on there as partners, which I thought was amazing yeah. still. They didn't
oh,
change
yeah.
that.
Oh,
up.
You tapped.
If you can get his name, I'll
Montoya.
Give you.
Montoya!
Yeah, no. Her name was the black guy's name, though. The one
oh, yeah, her other part. Dang, I don't know.
That's the one I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
But anyways, I love Alfred on there. To me, he's like the best character there.
Oh, yeah. I love that version of Alfred.
And I love the concept they're still going in, and it's really gritty. And the best scene out of episode 1 of season 2 was when they had Zaz and Penguin come to Lobe. Oh my god, that scene was amazing. That was something like you would see in a Gotham comic book, like the GCP. Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah. The head. Yeah.
And I'm just holding the head. Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm like, oh, this is what you're starting off with?
And then you had the lightning and the rain in the background. I was like, this is Gotham.
Yes.
That was when I was like, this is something they should stay on track with.
Yeah.
Because with Gotham, you can keep that.
At least we know the death now that affected Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We've got to see that this past week, finally. It's interesting that he goes... From the beginning of the first episode of this season, he's a traffic cop. So now, at the end of the second, at the end of the second episode, he's pretty much now commissioner.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah,
now,
but
that's how you advance through the ranks.
Well, see, I saw that one coming for like you were talking about in the second episode how we were just like they're not going to kill her. I'm like they're going to kill her.
Yeah,
they're going to kill her.
See, the thing is, it's already totally Elseworlds anyway, because in the comic, Essen is his partner, and he ends up having an affair with her.
Yeah, but here she's actually
So how creeped out were you?
What's the name of not commissioner? Was she a commissioner?
Wait, she was chief
detective. That was it, chief detective. I noticed that, and I was like, if she's older, and I'm like, well, okay, they're not, but she's not really that main of a character, so you can switch. And then when they killed, was it Falcon? Which one did they kill?
Was it Falcone?
No, Falcone.
No, not Falcone. It was the other one.
Fish?
No.
No,
the other
mob boss.
I don't know why his name's slipping me right now.
But
when they killed him, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And then like Bruce and Alfred found the Batcave, and I said, yep, this is not what I was used to reading. Then what is it?
It's the basement.
It's going to lead to the Batcave.
It's beginning.
It's
going to
lead to the Batcave. That's the Batcave.
But no, Vicky had a question. What was...
How creeped out were you when Joker got spit in the face and he was talking about how pleasantly surprised he enjoyed them?
Hey, that was Joker, though.
That's not surprising at all.
Because everybody was saying, he's not the Joker. Even the actors were like, the Joker is, you know, a thought.
Well,
yeah,
I think they were at first.
The actor himself has actually said he has not been told he's the Joker.
Yeah, I don't think they're.
How
I don't know
not
where
be
they're
the
going.
Joker at this point.
I mean, they've got his skin is so pale. I mean, come on.
Like, and he's got the red. Did Joker have red hair? In the Killing Joke, was that he more supposed to be like a ginger in there?
Yeah, at one point he
I think he was.
He's got the smile. He's got the laugh.
Laugh down pat.
Right.
He's got the pure insanity. I mean, the whole Russian roulette thing where he's click, 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 click. Then here you go. There's two left.
Are they throwing the bodies off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To spell.
And I also like what they're doing with Edward.
Yeah.
I do like that to make him psychotic. It's like, well, he's Riddler. He is crazy.
They took away the silliness from
the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're going definitely the psycho route, which works so much better for
Riddler. Yeah.
And I told Don, especially after seeing the end of the second episode, I wonder. I mean, if they're going completely Elseworlds with this, just go all the way with it. And so Bruce is about, 12? He's 12 now, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we know that Alfred has some skills.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was apparently SAS.
Well, they're going with this one is, I think one of the more modern Alfreds in the comic books is he was a former Special Forces.
Well, they started doing that back even in, when I first heard about it was the Batman animated series. Remember how Batman and Robert, not... Robert, wow. Batman Robin, that was bad. Went over, I think, to England, and they found Alfred, and they found up, was like, wait a minute, he did all this? And
yeah,
then Robin's like, oh, he can't take care of himself. And Batman's like, you don't know him. He's like, he can't do that. Then found out, oh.
Yeah. Maybe. So I'm thinking that we might actually see some of Bruce beginning to be trained, because you have Lucius Fox.
And I was happy to see him.
Who would be all the tech stuff.
Mm-hmm.
you have Alfred, who knows a ton of other stuff.
Skills, that we, and can I just say, Alfred called Lucius a sausage. That was wonderful.
Yes, yes. and we have Jim that would help him right. with the detective.
Because you guys see that when he went down to the cave or basement in the first
the root cellar,
whatever it is, underground. Future Batcave. it was talking about, he was reading that letter from his father, and then it was something in there he said about looking up to somebody, then it went straight to Commissioner Gordon,
yes,
and he was
right.
putting on his tie, and I was like, so that's going to be another follow-up thing that would be a big influence in this series.
It's true, though. Like it's got the elements that he needs, because Batman needs the tech, Batman needs the physical skills, and Batman needs the detecting and the conscience. I mean, all three of them are kind of helping him create his conscience as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he was starting to go down.
From the start, he was about revenge. He wanted to find out about who killed his parents and who was.
Yeah.
And they're helping him with the conscience, finding out, you know, you do this for what's good out of it, not just to get your revenge on someone.
Exactly. I mean, that's also, if I remember, that was in the letter from his dad.
Mm-hmm, yep. Exactly.
They said straight up, the do this, if you find a call, or
move, either go for
like
happy,
move past us and live a happy life.
Or if you can't find cause, happiness, if you can't choose happiness, if you can't choose happiness, and you're searching for the truth,
find your calling.
Find a calling.
Yeah. Unless you find a calling, then follow the calling.
And well, see, and that's the thing. And I'm like, well.
Well, I mean, Alfred said he was going to train him. He said, you have to follow everything I say.
And say, Alfred don't play.
No, Alfred's real.
That's actually what got me in this last episode. He fires Alfred, but Alfred's his legal guardian. How does that work?
Well, that's exactly how it works. Well, I fire you as a butler, though, but you're still the legal guardian.
As legal guardian, he's responsible for him, etc., but he's still working as a butler, so he can technically kick him out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, weird. Oh, come on.
Admit,
he had laundry to do.
He had laundry.
That's why he brought him back.
I don't want to do this.
That's what Vicky said when it first happened. It's like Alfred's sitting at the train station, and Vicky's like, when Bruce starts to step in, he's like, yep. He couldn't figure out how to work the laundry machine.
Uh-huh.
The washing machine.
Yep.
Bruce
needed dinner.
Bruce was being, he was turning into a little Richard Cranium. all through the first episode and the second.
He was being a brat.
He was being a brat.
And he's 12 years old.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's 12 years old.
Well, how old is he for the show? Huh? Is he 12 years old for the show?
Yeah, on the show, he's 12.
Okay, 12. Yeah. And see, that's another thing. He's older than what he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like 8 or 9. Yeah, but, right. You know.
So he's 12 and he witnessed his parents being killed. I get that. Okay, well, no, I don't get it, thank God. But if I was his, I'm just saying that if
you get the concept.
I get the concept of it. Okay. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, he spent all last season trying to be a man. He walked up in the meeting for the board meeting.
Yeah, Dwayne Enterprise.
And trying to tell people he's checking up on them. They're laughing at him. But he's clueless about it because he's no Bruce Wayne. And
he's 12.
And he's 12. I mean, you know, but, you know, he's, I think, seeing that his words have impact. When I think it hit him hard when Alfred left. I don't think he expected Alfred to actually up and leave his butt, you know. And then when Alfred
not without an argument, not I think without he an argument, Alfred to kind of come back with an argument or something, and Alfred was like, "Okay, fine."
All last season, Alfred's like he's trying to reason with him, and Alfred's like, "You know what? I'm out. Figure it out yourself. I'm leaving." On the midnight train to London,
and Bruce wouldn't survive on the streets anyways. Because I mean, when she shoved the guy out that window, I think she's seriously scared.
Oh yeah,
And you know what? He needs to leave that Selena Kyle alone
for now, at least for four seasons.
We're gonna see this.
You know what? Somebody and Catwoman hookup. That's gonna happen.
I can honestly say though, I'm really happy that she's barely appeared in these first couple episodes. I really don't like her. It's partly the actress, and it's partly the way they're portraying this young
Selena Kyle. Yeah. That's what's just off.
It's not.
At first, I was like, okay, but my friend, he actually said when the first episode came of season one, when she saw the death of his parents, he was like, I don't know how I'm feel about the show. Because, like, Selena's scene, that was just kind of off.
Yeah.
And to me, if they would have had a Joker see that, I think that would be nice. That would be nice. In my opinion. Because he would have had traces of, like, we were meant to do this literally right. from when I first saw, this is right. when I saw Batman Be Born. Right. I knew from then. Something like that I thought would have been good. But when you seen, like, Selena go, I was like,
Yeah.
And then also she's buddies with Ivy. I'm like, that's just a little too convenient.
Yeah. They're all street
I didn't mind that. Yeah. Because you got to think about it.
Well, this world, it kind of makes sense.
But here's the thing. Because you had Ivy and Harley that were like besties.
Yeah.
But then you seen like Selena help them. So if she has a past with Ivy, see how crazy she is. Yeah. Like, oh, I like her, but I know her a little more than you do. You know her now. I've been known her. Right. Yeah, I can't deal with both of you guys.
You know they're together now.
Who?
Harley and Ivy.
Yeah.
That's in the comics.
They've been like that for decades.
Vicky had an interesting idea that...
About two?
I guarantee they're not going to go this way, but Vicky had an interesting idea when we were watching also, when Barbara came on screen for a little bit. But you remember, she had an idea on who Barbara actually is in this show.
Harley?
Are they turning Barbara into Harley?
Remember, I asked you that a couple days ago at work.
Yeah. Quite honestly, yeah, I've seen that. So far Elseworld,
I think they're doing that, though. Yeah. This show's already in Elseworld. Because when she killed her parents, I'm like, this is wrong. Then Jerome started talking to her in the jail, she got blonde hair. I'm like, this is
Harley.
They
have to make Barbara not Jim's wife.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To begin with. Yep. Then, if they go the Harley route, well, she's not a doctor.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Where Harley started out as.
Right.
And they have to make her suddenly want to be with this 18-year-old brat, Jerome.
Yeah, I mean, she's much older.
Yeah.
Is she late 20s, early 30s?
Yeah. Something like
that. But then again, I can't talk about that. Never mind.
You're saying that's feasible.
It is
feasible. It is feasible.
Okay. Age is not an issue, but age I'm just saying.
Ain't no.
There you go.
Just saying, those kids stay in school.
All right? be good.
No, I don't think Jerome could handle her after you saw her whip the other guy.
But you got this. Wait, think about this. Wait. Joker was older than Harley.
Yeah.
So if they do a reverse, it could happen.
It could happen.
I mean,
and plus, him being a male and she being a female, that's, of course, acceptable in our culture now.
There's a lot
if you're a younger male with an older woman, that's
okay. There's a lot of steps they have to take to make her Harley.
It would be interesting in a show, though.
Complete Elseworld and make her the one who's Harley, that's a bit much.
But you know what? At the same time, it frees them up from having to follow Batman canon. I mean, this show is already not canon
at all.
And so it frees them up.
But then they screw over what might have happened out of Arrow. Because you know Harley was locked up in that one scene.
They're not
going to
mix those, though.
I know they're not mixing the shows, but they're screwing that because then you've got a different Harley and Suicide Squad as well. So that's going to be Harley
Squad,
number 3.
No, what they've done in Arrow now with Suicide Squad, the fact that they basically wrote Suicide Squad out of Arrow, that's you're not going to see Harley in there anymore.
Well, I know you're not,
why they did the whole thing with Deadshot was because of the Suicide Squad movie coming up.
Right.
Mm. And Warner Bros. Will not allow the movie and TV universe to touch.
But
how are they going to work the Flash in?
Much of a different characterization are they going to do?
Question.
Because Harley in Suicide Squad, the movie, is going to be totally different than anything they might do in Gotham.
Yeah.
And that's way, way different. That's not just a little different.
That's right. Actually, now that you bring that up, more than likely that we're not going to see Harley in the Gotham.
That's what I'm thinking.
Harley without calling.
Okay, let me put that in case. If that's the case, we shouldn't be seeing Joker. We shouldn't be seeing Joker by
so
that.
So far, we're not.
That's true.
We're seeing Jerome.
Good point.
Yeah.
They're just doing personalities.
And Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So
good point.
Okay, so that was Gotham. We're actually running out of time, guys. We're running way low on time. What'd you got? You got something else?
I was gonna say about Gotham. Also, that's why I killed Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman vs Superman movies, and they're gonna keep him for the show of Gotham.
Possibly.
That's probably why they did that.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So. We'll see now. But now the thing is, they're talking about another solo Batman movie post.
Oh.
Batman Heart Superman.
Yeah,
so.
But by then they might be done with Gotham.
That's true.
That's not gonna be till like what, another 3 years.
That's right.
But
so
what else?
I think though for this week, we were gonna talk S.H.I.E.L.D. and the show's coming up, but we're running low on time here.
Mm-hmm.
So love the bus, that's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah, love the bus. Just a quick, you caught up Vernon this week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and watched the premiere. What'd you think?
I was just the whole thing. I was waiting to see the Inhuman because I seen a picture of that on the internet. The guy with the dreadlocks? What's his name?
Slash.
Love him. I seen his face and I said yes. I've been waiting for you.
sitting there like, you guys got your work cut out for you.
What do you say? Where's all the Inhumans? There you are. That's all I need, or something like that. Goes like, for them and cut. I was like, yeah.
What'd you think, Vicky, when you saw it? You watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with me.
I was gonna say, it's kind of. I'm curious about Simmons. Where did she end up?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Is it me or did she end up in the Phantom Zone?
No.
That looks like the Phantom Zone.
No. Phantom Zone is DC.
I know.
And then, no.
But that's where they used the filter from.
No. They actually took that from Fantastic Four.
What was it called?
The Negative Zone.
The Negative Zone. There we go. I think that she's on Atalan. Personally, I think that's where.
She could be.
Atalan is where the Inhumans come from.
Okay.
That's right. I know my Marvel.
That's his name. Yeah. What's the guy's name?
Fitz?
Yeah. Of course, it would take a guy, which this should pertain to somebody we know in real, takes the girl to disappear or think she's dead before he's professes his love.
True.
Well, no, he professed his love last time.
That's true. They were about to go on a date.
They
were about to go on a date, and she got sucked in.
And when they were on the bottom of the ocean,
right? You know? Yeah. And then see, apparently the two of them don't need to be getting together because bad things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the one thing I picked up right away, and you guys, none of you guys caught it right away. There's a huge Easter egg, or not Easter egg, but awesome nod in Coulson's office.
The axe.
If you watch the show again. Coulson's office, on the wall between the two windows, big, bright red fire axe just chilling on the wall.
Well, the guy
that's the one that chopped his arm off.
Right. Well, and then the one guy wanted that it back. Yeah,
You know what? We're sitting there watching that. We're going back to the last episode, the season finale. We're sitting there watching it, and then, boom! Out of nowhere!
I wasn't expecting that, because it was slow motion, got that. Speed up. Hand got cut off. Like, okay, I wasn't expecting that.
And then when Lash shows up this episode, dude's like, I need my axe. I need my gun. I need an axe-gun combo.
Wait, I actually come to think of it, I need to give a shout-out to my brother because we were talking about axe-shotgun combos, and he tweeted, he posted on my Facebook page, a shotgun
with an
axe on it. So
you can find these online.
So, Thomas, thank you. Now I need to go to the gun shop and the hardware store.
And some duct tape.
No, dude, this thing, like, it was actually like a rail.
It's all combined. Like, it's actually, I gotta see this. Yeah, oh. It's pretty cool.
But I know you said you got shorter time. I was thinking, should we talk about VIX and then discuss maybe Arrow and Flash?
Actually, I think we're going to swing back around next time, to that. Okay. I'm thinking early November we'll have you come back on, because that'll be right after Supergirl premieres.
Mm-hmm.
We'll all have time to watch Vixen, and we'll just tackle the DC TV universe, which Arrow and Flash and Vixen are part of the same universe.
Are we going to put iZombie in there, too?
Supergirl is not officially, but she might be. You're
the
only
one who watches it. Am I the only one that watches it? It is DC Vertigo.
We're going to tackle all of those four shows probably all together real early in November. Because Geeksters, for the rest of this month, we have it planned out strong.
Busy.
It's because schedule. Con and the Cobb's coming up. We got this going.
We got Con and the Cobb, Odd Mall, we have a special surprise one in between them probably. I just got to get it guaranteed, then we can announce that. But so next
you're going to be wearing a tutu.
What?
No, I wear a kilt. Give me a kilt, I'll wear it all day. But so next week we're talking the Martian.
We're proper.
The week after that, we'll be at Con and the Cobb broadcasting live. The next week after that will be the one that I pretty much have locked in. We just have to get the confirmation. Then the next one will be the one we record live at Odd Mall.
Yep.
So that takes all of October. Once we get into November, we'll get back into the swing of normal things again. Well, if there is such a thing as normal things on this show. So
can I just say one more thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? The whole thing with Bobby and dude, that makes me look forward to their show. That when they had their whole moment, the way they were talking and stuff.
You mean
and,
the lab? Like,
going out and
okay.
And you know, going out on their own and chasing people down and stuff. That made me look forward to a Mockingbird show. And shows how well Adrian Pilecki would have done as Wonder Woman if they had created the TV show with her starring in it.
Oh,
they did make the pilot. I know, but they had the wrong people making it.
But exactly. But she is so good as Mockingbird. She is so good at all the action, etc. That you know, DC kind of screwed itself out of it. Warner Brothers, whatever.
Warner Brothers
screwed itself out of it by not going with her and creating a good show around her for that.
And I need to make a correction. I don't think I actually posted it on the Kyle and Ken page, but I thought, because I was wanting to hear things, I thought I heard the invaders being referenced, and it was not. It was me putting what I wanted into...
He said call in favors, and, not call invaders.
And I thought it was the invaders, if you guys want to know who they
it's
are.
It's the British accent that threw you off.
Yeah, it was, but the invaders would have made sense. It would have made sense because it would have brought in some more B-tiered heroes.
Maybe that's an excuse to bring them into the Mockingbird show.
There you go. So, yeah, if who are the invaders, look them up. They're cool. You will love them. But that's all I got to say about that.
Okay. Well, I got to get ready to wrap this up. Vernon, I want to thank you for coming and being on the show. Now that you've actually had a chance to sit down. Now, he's done this more than once of sitting down trying to get, we weren't able to get the show going. So now that you've sat in with us, thank you. We have an open seat for you. You know that.
Love it.
So
every time.
Anything else that you want to tell the Geeksters how to get a hold of you or where they can find you at on the internet?
Social media, one I'm really on is Instagram, and that's Hollin' at Wolf. I post a lot of nerd and geek stuff, even about the show and my little personal rants, I guess I can say, about comic books and good things I love about it. So hit me up or follow me on there, Hollin' at Wolf. And also, my friend told me to give him a shout-out on here. Chris, Ty, Caveman, Bell, Sean, you guys, comic book readers that I know of pretty good that be messing with me hard on that. So shout-out to you guys, and who knows, maybe one day you guys can give me some ideas and help me on the show.
And check out VL's comic box every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
On geekwatch1.com.
Okay, so...
Self-promoting me, and I forgot about that one. VL's comic box is the best.
Okay, so let me give one more... Dawn, you had anything else that you wanted to cover before we wrap this up?
That's it for this week.
Kylan, you had anything else to wrap up?
No, I'm good.
Vicky, anything else?
Nope, I'll be
here. Okay.
I'll be after hours.
Yeah, guys. As I'm wrapping up, remember, we still have the Patreon going, patreon.com/geekwatch1. You can, if you give us some support there, remember, as soon as we get to $100 total support, if we have all of our listeners give $2 a month, that'll get us to the well over the $100.
That's mark. Less than a Starbucks coffee.
And then you will get the Geek Watch 1 After Dark. Miss Vicky will be able to talk about whatever she wants to talk about. Trust me, she has a notebook full of stuff she wants to talk about.
Because I have the true dirt.
She said she has an interesting Gonzo story. So you guys got to get us to Geek Watch 1 After Dark so she can talk about Gonzo and what... in that thing. But also, go to our website. I know we've seen a lot of guys have been clicking through on the affiliates. That's awesome on the banners. Remember, anytime you want to buy something from any of the affiliates we have, click through the banners on our website. It gives us just a little bit of help so we can get better equipment. Next summer, we have a convention we want to go to, but we have to figure out the financials of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys giving us a hand through there will actually help us to be able to go and cover some of the conventions live. Then other than that, you can always find us at www.geekwatch1.com. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Satchel Player at Geekwatch 1. We're also still looking for 5-star reviews on iTunes, Stitcher. Write a review, let everybody else know what happens on the show and what you like about us, what you don't like about us. But if you don't like something, email it to us.
We'll fix it.
We'll fix that for you.
Maybe.
You can
no.
You can email us at kylanandken@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Miss Dawn is always putting up new content on those at Kylan and Ken. You can also find us on the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangibound.com or tangiboundnetwork.com and weebygeeks.com. So, for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, for Vicky, for myself, Vernon, thank you for being on the show again.
You're welcome.
And remember,
no matter where you go,